A man who talks to top CEOs about politics has an unexpected view from the Philadelphia convention. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Here is a statistic you may have missed in the last week. A survey of corporate treasurers finds that U.S. companies are increasingly hoarding cash, hedging against uncertainty instead of investing or paying it out through dividends. This from the Association of Financial Professionals. Now, to what extent is this furious race for the U.S. presidency part of that uncertainty? I put that question this morning to Ian Bremmer, founder of the Eurasia Group, a consulting firm that watches global political risk. He's in Philadelphia at the Democratic Convention.
I think that the wait and see has much more to do with uncertainty about the world as a whole. It's much more oriented towards Europe, a lot of Middle East, even some China. As it slows and as there's questions of whether or not their, you know, sort of the changes in reform are going to continue to stick. But if to the extent that there's concern about the United States, it's much more about America's role in the world than it is about the U.S. domestically. I mean, certainly you do not have corporate heads in the United States who are saying that they're going to view America and their investments in the U.S. differently on the basis of who wins the U.S. presidential election. Literally, there are no American CEOs that are thinking about that.
They don't think a Trump presidency versus a Clinton presidency would change their North American strategy.
It would change their views of the U.S. in the world, and it would change their views, you know, perhaps of how much global growth they're expecting at the margins. But when you talk about, you know, sort of a bunch of in different industries of CEOs that are thinking that, you know, the United States is geopolitically quite buffered from a lot of the instability, the demographic trends are favorable, new technologies are overwhelmingly developed here. No, I mean, they may be concerned about Trump for more personal reasons and depending on their party affiliations particularly, but it's really not affecting the way they're thinking about investing in the U.S. Now, that's an overplayed thought.
Ian Bremmer, what are you going to look for today? Today's Hillary Clinton's big speech as the keynote tonight.
Well, let's see how she tacks on foreign policy and national security issues. I mean, they've inserted themselves front and center. It's where she's been arguing that Trump's temperament makes him least suitable, least fit for the presidency. How much of that does she take on herself personally? How much is this just, another big speech? How much is she going to really engage in that fight? Obama did some of that himself. Individually, you might have thought he would have not mentioned Trump by name, let other people do that. Oh, no, he went there. I suspect that this is going to be one of the more combative speeches that we've seen from Hillary so far. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Ian Bremmer is founder and president of the Eurasia Group. Ian, always good to talk to you.
Happy to be with you, David.
Bremmer is also an expert on Russia's relationship with the world. He explains Russia's possible motivation for releasing those hacked emails to disrupt the U.S. Democratic Party. If you miss that on the air, it'll be in the second Marketplace podcast of the day later on. The U.S. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the federal agency set up after the last financial crisis, today will unveil a new set of rules aimed at debt collectors. Among other things, companies would have to refrain from what are termed excessive or disruptive methods of contacting customers under the proposal. The rules focus on third-party debt collectors, with other rules touching on bigger banks to come later. An estimated 70 million Americans have debt collectors after them. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.1% each, 13 points for the Dow future. After the U.S. Fed left interest rates alone yesterday, the 10-year Treasury yield is down at 1.5%. Boeing is reportedly phasing out the manufacture of that venerable pregnant guppy known as the 747 Jumbo Jet. The Wall Street Journal got a hold of a regulatory filing suggesting the airplane manufacturer saying it's making just 6 planes a year starting in September. The 747 was first introduced in the early 1970s and has been eclipsed by smaller, twin-engine, more fuel-efficient planes in recent years. Cooling off at a public pool is tougher to do in some parts of the country than in summers past. That's because fewer young people want a lifeguard these days, and there's this labor shortage. In Texas, some cities are recruiting older lifeguards. Joy Diaz from KUT in Austin reports.
Kimberly McNeely helps manage the city of Austin's aquatics department. And when she realized that paying $13 an hour and offering a sign-in bonus was not bringing in enough lifeguards, she took a think-outside-the-box approach. Standing by a pool in Austin, McNeely says some may believe it's radical to pull Grandma and Grandpa out of retirement and into lifeguarding. But
if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. And so we want to just take a look and explore other ideas for recruitment.
B.J. Fisher is with the American Lifeguard Association. He says seniors today may no longer have the chiseled bodies of their youth, but some are in great shape.
They're fit, and many are very responsible. Love to have them back into the profession.
Seniors have one more thing going for them. Unlike many kids, older adults are perfectly fine with the no cell phone policy many cities have adopted for lifeguards.
I leave mine in the car. I leave it in the locker. I just think if somebody really needs me, they'll find me.
That is 85-year-old YMCA swimming and lifeguard instructor Ed Myers. After retiring from the corporate world, Myers wanted a job he could enjoy, a place he could give back, and a way to stay healthy. Lifeguarding gave him all that.
I work out about 3 days a week. I've had such a good life in the past, I want to keep it going. So I try to stay in good shape. And then when I teach my classes, I swim with the class.
Though it wasn't done with seniors in mind, the requirements for lifeguard work have eased a bit. It used to be that in order to guard a pool, lifeguards needed to prove they could swim 300 yards. The new rule is 50 yards because pools these days are often shallow enough for standing. In Austin, I'm Joy Diaz for Marketplace.
A story clearly about a solution to a talent pool problem. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.